Thank you, Sarah, and thank you for the message behind that music. Now, if you can grasp the heart of this short parable I share with you, then you will understand the thrust of today's message. Daddy was a man who loved his children. He took more delight in providing for their everyday need than anything else in life. When he had to make personal sacrifices for their good, he never thought of it as a personal sacrifice. He just knew he loved his children, and his long hours of labor, those were just prices that he paid in order to provide for them. Whatever a child needed, if a child needed a pair of shoes in the family, Dad tried to provide the money to provide that. When the new school year came around, Dad was there with the money for Mom to go and buy the needed school clothes. There was always food on the table, and that was one of the joys and delights of his life, to provide those provisions. Birthdays came around, there was always one nice gift that fit within the means of the family to bless his children. But like so many children, these children took Dad's provision for granted. They just assumed that, without much thinking, Dad would provide for their needs. He never sought to force them to be grateful. He never offered any complaint for their lack of gratitude. After all, gratitude that is forced isn't really gratitude at all. It needs to come from within one's heart, or it doesn't really have genuine gratitude written upon it. Were these bad children? No. Did they need a little better understanding that the gifts and the provisions of their life, that which they enjoyed daily, had a source that they did need? It is a lesson that we all need to learn today. I would say to us that our celebration of Thanksgiving is a fairly predictable event. Even people who do not profess to be particularly religious in this season will somehow find reasons to inventory their blessings and say a word of gratitude to someone for having them. And those of us who place a higher value on our faith, we may take a little more time and be a little bit more careful in our expression of gratitude, give it a little bit more attention. But the likelihood is that most of our thinking we'll still focus on the things themselves, the material blessings that we have, or perhaps the relational, intangible blessings that are ours as well. But I'm inviting us to do something different this morning, to follow a different pattern. For I want us to step away from that well-beaten path that we usually follow, and people do follow in this season. Rather than thinking of the list of blessings that are ours, I want us to think solely on the source of those blessings. The scriptures tell us that every good and perfect gift cometh from above. So as much as is within us, I want us to direct our hearts to that above. As much as is possible, I invite us not to celebrate the gifts of God, but to celebrate God Himself in this hour. In reality, to focus our attention on God is a difficult event. To ask you for the full course of our moments here together to think upon God is a spiritual struggle for us. It is a spiritual challenge within our spiritual capacities. That which is tangible, that which is visible, we can gravitate toward that, and well may, during the course of my remarks here, gravitate toward that. But our tendency, you see, is always to leave the spirit and go toward that which is physical. So I want us to begin with the single most joyous affirmation that you and I can bring to this hour. And that is this, that God is a reality. We are invited to celebrate that which forms the matrix out of which all of our living and being and doing exist. Let me remind all of us that vast portions of the people cannot celebrate that God is this morning. There are vast numbers who deny his existence, who have sought to find him in a laboratory someplace and cannot find evidence for him, who deny outright his existence. Then there are a vast number of people who just can't quite get their mind or their heart or their life around this uncertainty that they just end up not knowing. And then there are massive numbers who perhaps ascribe to the reality of God, but their vision of God's nature is poles apart from what they are able to claim. We are able to claim based upon the scriptures. They don't know God as we know God in his reality. I read a review just recently of a book that proposes to set forth the reality of God in a scientific fashion. It would propose to present to us scientific evidence that there is a God. Well, let me say to you that that person has set themselves a very difficult task indeed. For the Bible tells us without faith it is impossible to know God. God, for very good reasons, gives us no visible evidence of himself. Even when Jesus came among us as God himself, still the burden of believing means that in looking upon him, one had to have a heart experience rather than some unusual proof that came by means of our eyes. In the end, what we all need and what we all want from God is relationship. And that relationship can only come by the submission of one's heart. So all of our celebrations rest upon the heart conviction that God is a reality. Without that conviction, any and all attempts to make sense of this life end in frustration. Without that conviction, we are thrown upon our own feeble explanations as to why life exists, why we are here on earth, and what is our destiny, where are we headed. We are totally dependent for our own strength, our own wisdom, and our own community to give explanation to life itself. That's always a difficult thing. So celebrate today. It is by the existence a benevolent Heavenly Father provides that your life and my life have form and our lives have purpose. Nothing need be assigned to the realm of being accidental or at random. You are not an accident of nature. You are a created being brought about by God. You have an assigned place. You have an assigned purpose, destiny. All of it is by God's existence. We could speculate long and hard on a world without God. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of that. But without this point of reference, that single attitude of knowing that God exists is what banishes all of our fears and all of our doubts about life. By faith, we worship in the reality that there is a loving Heavenly Father who knows each of his children. So count yourselves among the most blessed people on the face of this earth, because it is by no means a given truth that everyone else will do what you're asked to do. Join me now as we pray together a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you. Lord, when our minds seek you by wisdom, when our eyes long to look physically upon your presence, we thank you for that affirmation that only our hearts can provide, for your spirit. Your reality lies beyond the limitations of our flesh, for that which is eternal cannot be bound by that which is temporal. We celebrate your reality because every aspect of our existence is transformed in that glorious truth. We are born by your grace, we live by your grace, and we die by your grace. We are born into eternal life by your grace, and your existence is the source of all our thanksgiving. Amen. Celebrate God with me because our God has chosen to involve himself totally and fully in the happenings of our world. And that means the happenings of your life. The immensity of space would tell us that a world so small as ours could easily be overlooked by this Heavenly Father. We are but a little bitty, small, tiny planet in a great big universe. We have no way of knowing whether God has 10,000 other places where there is life that he has made and he looks after. What we can know is that he has aligned himself with the everyday affairs of this world. God walks in a very fine line, people, far more difficult than you and I can imagine, to provide for us the freedom to be, make our own choices, do our own things. That means that with those choices, we have people who make bad choices, and those choices affect other people. And so this world is a place of suffering and difficulty. Often it is brought about by those who do the wrong thing with the freedom that God has given them. On the other hand, God has such compassionate concern for each of his children that he ministers to us daily in ways most people never give him credit for doing. The capacity of a seed, as we have sung this morning, to grow grain, to provide fruit, to provide vegetables. That's the benevolence of God at work in the process. Yes, our world has its dark places and its dark deeds. And I make no attempt to refute that reality. But all life is not tragedy. And his goodness reaches us every day. And it is because of God's intimate involvement in the affairs of humankind that you and I can always claim this business called hope. A few days ago, I asked one of our members, who has had to deal with a great deal of heartache in her young life, a great deal of disappointments, and a constant battle within her body with diseases that are there, to share with you and I this morning her view on Thanksgiving. And I believe you will be touched with the reality of a God who involves himself in the lives of all his children as you hear Jackie Dillard's story. Dear church family, when Pastor David asked me to write a letter about what I'm thankful for, I felt an array of emotions, extreme honor, overwhelming gratitude, and then the enemy tried to creep close, saying, "Does the whole congregation want to hear what I have to say?" In my heart, however, I know that those who know me and my family do want to hear. I certainly do not want a pity party. But the Lord reminded me he would never have given me this opportunity if something beautiful would not come out of it. Plus, he reminded me of all the compassion, love, prayers, hugs, and support you have all given me. It has shown me and others what an incredible example of God's unconditional love our congregation is. I often ask myself, "How do you do it, Jackie?" Others ask me that. "How do you stay so positive?" I always answer, I have the three most important things in life: God, family, including my church family, and friends. Those are the most important things to me, period. To say things that have been tough would be an understatement. I had it all, a supporting, loving family, incredible friends, wonderful husband, so I thought, and teaching, my passion. I felt close to God. Then the diseases took over, and one by one, a lot of things began to fall like dominoes. The harsh medication, the teaching, and now ex-husband. One truth, however, has remained the same and always will. God never left my side. My loving family remains incredible, and true friends are always there. It seems every time in my life that I start to drift from Jesus, something happens to bring me back to Him. He sure did this time. I have never been so close to God as I am now. It is the most beautiful, intense, and peaceful way I've ever lived. Every day there are new blessings, new mistakes, and more growing. I would be untruthful if I said I never get down and frustrated, wondering why. But the Lord always picks me up and carries me until I'm able to walk again. These verses really speak to me. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in all circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That represents my life so well. I am learning to be content and getting stronger every day. This book I am reading now is called Calm My Anxious Heart. One of the exercises in it was to list the positives and the negatives of my life. I thought, well, the negative list may be longer, but the positives are so much more powerful. Boy, was I surprised. The positive list was three times as long. So what am I most grateful for? I already spoke of God, family, and friends. Well, here are these in a little more detail. I am His child forever, and nothing can separate us. Number two, my family, incredible extended family on both sides, is very rare. I have parents who never give up on me and would move mountains for me if needed. Then there's sweet Audrey Grace and Luke, my niece and nephew, with whom I have share a unique bond. Number three, those who have influenced me positively, and those who I have influenced positively. Number four, I am well loved, and I love many well so also. Number five, Jesus died on the cross for me. Unbelievable, but oh so true. Number six, He has made me strong, even stronger. Number seven, there is so much pure love in my life. I have a strong support system. Number eight, I am blessed with a passion for teaching. Though I may not be teaching now, that does not mean I cannot ever go back. I need the kids more than they need me. Honestly, I could go on, but my mom says I must not make it too long. I heard Joel Osteen say, the more problems you encounter as a believer, the more scared the enemy is of you. Well, Satan must be terrified of me. Aha. Every Bible verse that comes to mind is, Lord, You have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. I find myself very emotional lately, good emotional, crying at meaningful verses, books, even commercials. I am most thankful that I have the peace of mind that the Lord will never leave me, no matter what, and He will never leave me. I will never leave Him. He will provide whatever I ask of Him, with love and gratitude for all in this beautiful season. Jackie Dillard, would you pray with me? Thank you. Father, we thank you in this hour for providing us with the hope that can only be born of the knowledge that he that is in us is greater than he that is in this world. Paul spoke to the heart of our faith when he wrote these words, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Let our prayer, our Father, be a prayer of gratitude, for by our lives, every adversity we experience is brought forth in the hope of your eternal presence with us. And we celebrate that in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. We conclude by celebrating God in the fact that he has brought us the forgiveness that every one of us wants. Every person that walks into the fellowship of this church, every person that knows as they open the Word of God, everyone that has the Word of God shared with them has the opportunity to experience the forgiveness of God for the sins in their life. And there isn't a person on the earth that doesn't long for that experience, that freedom from the bondage of their guilt. No wonder we never tire of celebrating that redemptive experience as we come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We are glued to that. We are celebrating that. The knowledge that our condemnation is taken away from us. Without that loving Heavenly Father, this event of history, you see, could not have taken place. It was in the council of heaven that God made it willing and possible that Jesus Christ would walk to the face of this earth. To know that, be able to offer that any place in this world is a remarkable, remarkable experience. I was given a book by Huey Perry some time ago, and I'm just now getting around to reading it, about a remarkable man named Robert Preston Taylor, a chaplain in the Army in the Second World War. He came to Southwestern Seminary and served there just about the time I was leaving there as a chaplain on the campus. But as a prisoner of war in the Philippines, Chaplain Taylor finds himself assigned in a huge, huge prisoner of war hospital to one ward called the Pearly Gates. The name is pretty self-explanatory. Hundreds of wounded soldiers there, suffering and dying at the average of 67 men per day, without any medicine, without even the basic forms of medicine available to them. Taylor comes upon a young soldier reading the New Testament. "What passage are you reading, soldier?" "Oh, I'm not in any particular passage, just scanning some stories," he says. "What's your name, soldier?" "Mike, chaplain." As the chaplain grew closer, he saw that Mike was paralyzed from the waist down. He also had trouble turning the pages. The chaplain had been told that in his condition, the complications were there and that he did not have long to live. The conversation worked its way down to this exchange. The chaplain says, "Sometimes all we have left is our hope. And that's one thing nobody can take away from us." Mike is silent for a moment and then replies, "Yeah, chaplain, I've always wanted to have hope in something. Now that the end is near, it seems more important than ever. But it's also hard to understand. It says here, 'The Lord is my shepherd.' But I've always figured he's the Jap shepherd as well. And that leaves a hell of a lot of confusion within me." "When this first happened," he said to me, "just wait till I get my hands on whoever's running this cockeyed world. But I've been reading in the Psalms, and the Gospels have shown me that I've been wrong about this. Mike, have you ever thought about turning your life completely over to Christ and accepting him as your Lord?" "I've thought a lot about it, chaplain, in these past days, especially after the doctor was honest enough to tell me I only have a short time left. Would you like to do that now?" Yeah, but nobody ever told me how. And with that, the chaplain began to cry, because here they had been in and out of this ward many, many times. Chaplains all around this young man, and yet no one had spoken to him personally of that which is the eternal hope for every human heart. Suddenly, Taylor found himself with tears in his eyes. "It's okay, chaplain. I didn't mean to say anything. It's not that, Mike. It's just that God wants you to trust him personally. And no one had ever explained to you how it could be done. And I'd like to help you right now. When you celebrate God in this hour, people, think about this chaplain Taylor sharing with a young man and discovering for the first time, as he leaves this world to an eternal world, how to find Jesus. And he did exactly that. There was one yet unfinished item of business, for Mike wanted his wife and little girl at home to know that everything had happened according to God's plan, that he had found the Lord in his last hours. 2 weeks later, Chaplin found himself writing that letter to a wife and a 2-year-old child. It was written on a piece of soiled brown Japanese paper, but it got through. "Dear Anna and Mary Kay, it is my unhappy task to write that your husband and daddy died last week in the prison hospital. He asked me to do him a favor, to write you and say he loved you and that everything was all right, even to the very end. During those last days, he found a very close relationship to the Lord. His New Testament, times of prayer, became very important to him. And the genuine religious encounter which he had experienced was an inspiration to all who knew him. And may you, little Mary Kay, know that your daddy was a real hero. He served his country like a real man he was. And always remember that he was able to give that this freedom you experience came because your daddy died. God bless you both, Chaplain Robert Preston Taylor." You see, without God, there was no word for that chaplain to say to a dying soldier. But by that word, the dying within all of us is brought to life. We have that gift as only God can provide it. So celebrate that now in the words of the hymn that Mary will play for us. Our Father, without the gift of your Son Jesus, there is no celebration possible in this world. There is only the heartache and the brokenness and the hurt and the pain and the eternal damnation. But because you have chosen to commit yourself to us in such an unspeakable way, there is joy in our hearts. There is eternal love in our hearts. There is hope in our hearts. There is assurance in our hearts. And we come this day to offer to you the best that we are able to offer. Imperfect though it is our expression of gratitude to you for being who you are, our Heavenly Father, in whose name we now worship, in whose name we now pray. Amen. Number 479 is the hymn I ask you to respond to. Would you as you sing, reflect upon what has been said, what's been offered to you by the love of God in our hearts. May we stand.